Now verses 3 and 4. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and wonderful are thy works, Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways. Thou King of the ages, art King of the nations. Who shall not fear, Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, and all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts were made manifest. Now, if you want to learn the song of Moses, you'll find it back in Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 21, and again in Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 43. Now, both songs speak of God's deliverance, salvation, and faithfulness. Now, the Song of the Lamb is the ascription of praise to Christ as the Redeemer. We've already seen in this book, Revelation 5, 9 through 12. So I'll not turn back to either of these two songs. But again, may I call your attention to the fact that the book of Revelation is Christocentric. That means it is Christ-centered. Don't let the four horsemen carry you away. We got a lot of runaway horsemen today. People get interested in that. And they blowing of the trumpets. That's a way to get a crowd, start blowing trumpets. And then these seven personages, my, we can get interested in them. And we can also get interested in these seven bowls of wrath. But let's don't get interested in them. Let's keep our eyes centered on Christ. He's in charge. He's the Lord here. And in this book, we have, it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ in His holiness, in His power, and in His glory. And this is something we need to know about Him. Oh, the man Christ Jesus is wonderful. He is the one that can put His hand in God and put His hand in man. And the reason He can put His hand in God, because He is God. Now, He's called here the King of the ages. It could be King of the saints or King of the nations. Now, any rendering indicates that Christ will be the object of universal worship and acknowledgement. There'll be no place where He'll not be worshiped on this earth. And who shall not fear, Lord, and glorify thy name? Now, in our day, there's very little reverential fear of God, even among believers. We've been so caught up on this lovey-dovey subject, and I don't think we should lose sight of it. God is love, but God is light, too, and that means God is holy. And God is moving in on churches and dealing with Christians as He never has done before. And here's one that can testify to that. If you are God's child, you had better not do as you please. If you think God would mind sending you a little trouble, you are wrong. God is to be feared. Our God is a holy God. And nations shall come and worship before thee. Now the day will come when nations will come and worship before Him. It's not true today. A little prayer breakfast in Washington is a pretty sorry substitute for universal worship of God. And a man gave that to me as the argument that we're living in a Christian nation. What nonsense. We're not living in a Christian nation. There will come a day when every nation will worship Him. This knowledge ought to cause us to take heart as we see our own nation moving in the wrong direction today. There will come a day. In other words, God will remove the rebellious ones and only leave those who will worship. And He says in Psalm 2:8, Ask of Me, and I shall give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. They're going to be His. And in Isaiah 11:9, They shall not hurt nor destroy in all My holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Won't need any Through the Bible radio in that day or any of these other radio programs, because men are going to know, have a knowledge of God. And Jeremiah 23:5, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And you know that one of the things that the awful travail that this country's been through, and by the way, we've been so engrossed in our own problems and too much engrossed in them, our hearts have been made weary by all the scandal, but other nations have had this problem also. And today, it's almost nauseating when you see the immorality. You see the godlessness. You see the injustice that's in this world. If I were not a Christian, I would be one of the most radical persons you've ever met. But I'm a child of God. And today, I see all that in the world. And I know I can't remedy it. And I can't even lift a little finger because he's the one that's going to reign someday. And he's going to execute judgment and justice in the earth. Thank God for that. I get so tired of politicians telling me that they represent me in Washington and they want to do what I want them to do. And they go there and do everything they can for themselves. And I don't care what party we're talking about. May I say to you, the gross immorality, the gross injustice that there is abroad today. And what can you do? Well, may I say to you, God's people need to pray for our country today. But there is coming one that's going to execute justice and judgment. Now, listen to Paul in Philippians 2:9-11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that is Jesus, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, they're not going to acknowledge him as Redeemer in hell, but they're going to acknowledge him that he is the boss, he's running things, that this is his universe, that he's the owner, and they're going to acknowledge the glory of God. They'll have to. Now, also thy righteous acts. And that comes from the lips of those who've passed through the great tribulation. You see, this testimony coming from witnesses of this period is inexpressibly impressive. And it should settle in the minds of believers the fact that God is right in all that he does. It may not look right to you. And if you don't think that God is doing right, you are wrong, not God. And we need to adjust our attitude and our thinking. Psalm 7:9 reads, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." Psalm 11:7, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth uphold the upright." And then Psalm 107:1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." Verse 40, "He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way." 42, "The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth." That's when God takes charge.